welcome any visitors here for the first time. It's great to have you with us. And we pray you'll know the blessing of the Lord that comes through Jesus. Excellent. This week, I don't know if you've noticed around Taunton and the area, there has been a refurb going on with lamp posts, lights. And it appears that the current lights aren't good enough, the street lights. And so they're putting in these bright, very bright white lights. And I didn't know anything about it until 3 o'clock on Wednesday morning, which is the time they have decided to change the lights around my home. And so at three, I heard very loud machinery, a generator of some kind, flashing lights that was breaking through my kind of, I've got a blackout blind, but it was still able to get through these flashing lights. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I went to my window and looked out and went, what on earth are you guys doing? I tried to get back to sleep, but the noise was, let me say, attention grabbing. And the notice that they were going to do this work never got to us, and so we were totally unprepared. But on Friday night, they did it again. But this time, I was ready, because I got earplugs. And as soon as they started, I think they probably started about 1 o'clock in the morning this time, I just put my earplugs in, and it drowned out this noise. Now, this morning, I believe that is an analogy for us. The noisiness of situations that happen just outside our home. And I'm not just talking about, you know, somebody poling up and changing lights. I'm talking about circumstances, situations that break out, relational issues, or anything attention grabbing that enables you or works in you to lose your peace and lose your rest. And I believe the enemy is really out to do attention-grabbing stuff around every single person who believes in Jesus Christ, and even people who don't yet, but are on a journey of discovery about Jesus. And that noise to me was like a symbol of really how it really is as a Christian. Whether you're a new Christian or whether you've been a Christian for a long time, it doesn't matter what phase you're in, the enemy will set up shop outside your life and make immense noise and cause distractions. And I've noticed that when we receive something really good from God, like a promise about what God wants to do, a prophetic word, and the last two Wednesdays, we've had amazing prophetic nights together, meeting here, and God speaking over individuals. I've noticed that when a promise comes, it's like the noise of the enemy rises up and gets even louder than before. And even wakes you up at night. And sometimes these things are real heartache issues. But this morning I have a word, a simple word from God about not allowing those things to grab your attention. Because if we do allow ourselves to go to the window, look out, analyze, get worked up, send letters to the council, do whatever you do, it kind of takes you off what God is doing. And I think the main purpose of the enemy is to take us off focus and to move us out of the plans that God has for us, plans to prosper us. Jeremiah says, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. And sometimes the noise is so loud, it just seems you can't deal with it. But let me tell you what, something this morning, that there is a way to win in it. And God has a way for each one of us to win over all the attention-grabbing stuff that the enemy sets up around our lives, so that we can sleep in peace and walk by faith during the day as well. So our nights are good and our days are good, because our attention isn't on all the troubles and problems around. But our attention and our focus is on God and what he is saying to us. And we're going to look at how to deal with attention-grabbing stuff around us through the book of Timothy. And if you have a look in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 1, I just want to give a bit of background to the word I'm going to read, the scriptures I'm going to read. But Paul was the apostle, a great man of God that God really used. He gave us a lot of the New Testament, the Word of God. But he was a discipler, and he'd found Timothy, this young lad, and he decided to take him along with him in his journey of faith. And so he said, actually, Timothy, I want you to come with me because I want to shape your life, disciple you, train you, and equip you for what I believe God has for you. And that's all part of the Christian life. It isn't about just receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. It's a walk of being made into a disciple. And Paul, though he was a leader, he had such amazing affection and love for Timothy. So it wasn't just I'm discipling you and you've got to shape into this mold. He had a real love for Timothy. In fact, so much so, he said, Timothy, you're my true son in the faith. Now, Paul actually wasn't married. He didn't have kids, but he had spiritual kids. And he had what he called in Timothy a true son in the faith. So Paul was the father, and he spiritually enabled Timothy to be who he was in God. And so we're going to read about this relationship and what Paul advises Timothy to do in a time when there is a lot of distraction going on around him. Does anybody relate to this word? Because when you've received a promise, when you've got God's dream in your heart, when you've got a prophetic word from God, you have to learn how to live in what God has said and not be concerned about everything else that's going on around. Focus in on what God has for you. And Timothy needed to hear this from Paul. And we're going to read verse 18, chapter 1, verse 18 to 20. It says, this is Paul talking to Timothy, his son, the one he has real affection for, like a dad to a son. This charge I commit you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith and have suffered shipwreck. That's a big word. Some have rejected concerning the faith and have suffered shipwreck. And then he names these two guys. And if you can say the first one, you're better than me. And Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now that sounds pretty, well, it sounds like something neither you nor I would want. Should we just say, let's not have that? Thank you very much. So Paul is speaking to Timothy and he says, I've got a charge for you. And it's like quite a strong word. I'm commanding you, but it's out of love. It's like a father instructing his son how to live. And the word of God here, which is relevant for each one of us, isn't a kind of a, if you feel like it, it's actually like this is the authority of God, God's word saying, this is how you must live. This is what you must do. If you are to avoid being distracted and moved by everything else that is going on in life. And so he says, I charge you, Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made about you. Paul had been around. In fact, he'd laid part of what Paul had done. He'd laid hands on Timothy. And the Holy Spirit had given specific words over Paul's life. And Paul recognized with Timothy and others that that was from God. Timothy wasn't on his own up a mountain praying and says, I've heard God. It was within the wisdom and under godly leadership that this prophecy came. And it was in the divine order of God. And there is a divine order in the church. Leaders and those who are godly and raised by God to speak by the Spirit, to lay hands on those who are called to particular ministries. But to prophesy, to speak words from God. Now I find prophecy very exciting. That you and I can have a tailor-made word from God through the Spirit, working through whoever God uses to bring that word. Now in 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14, verse 3, the Bible says, prophecy is to build up, encourage, and edify and comfort. So Timothy had hands laid on him. They were prophesying over him. And basically, Timothy was being built up and encouraged in what God was thinking about Timothy, in about God's plans for this one person. Aren't you glad that God has plans for you? That he actually has already got plans and he wants to speak them over you. And when they're spoken, something from God is spoken over your life, it has power to create something from God. Because whenever God speaks, it has power to bring something into being. When God said to Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations, Abraham was totally incapable of having a child. But when God spoke, it had the power to create the ability to become something that God had made him to be. So when David was called by Samuel, and Samuel the prophet spoke over David's life. I don't know if you know the background of David really, but David had a father who had such a low opinion of him that he didn't even bother inviting him to the prophecy night or to the time when Samuel was speaking. And so David was stuck in the field with the sheep because in the father's, his natural father's mind, not worth bothering with. But God doesn't look as people look. God sees the heart, not the packaging, not the I'm really gifted, they're not at all gifted. He says, no, I'm going after the heart. There's a man after my heart. And so Samuel calls for David to come. This son number 8, who'd actually grown up, if he was thing is, he conquered that, David, but his father didn't think much of him. But in the end, it doesn't matter what people think. It's what God says. It's what God says that matters. That is your strength, and it's a life changer when you lay hold of what God says about you. Who you are in Christ, when you really lay hold of the new creation, let me tell you, the enemy and your past and your character can speak certain things, but you're going to stand and say, but God said, this is who I am. It's not down to my natural self, it's down to who God has said in his word and through his spirit. So Paul is saying to Timothy that the prophecies, now this word prophecy, it can go really wrong. How many of you have known some wacky, crazy stuff of people who say, I heard God? And they did not hear God. It's something they wanted God to do, so they took it from the realm of either selfishness or seen something in somebody else's life or trying to force to make something happen. And then they said, they put in front of what they wanted, God said. And that's a nightmare, because you're only going to end up with, at the end, God didn't say. Because it won't happen if God hasn't said it. But God has good things to say, and they will be unique for who you are in God. And it'll all work out in the context of his body or his church. Because when God says something to you as an individual, it's like God speaking in my physical body right now to my finger. My finger's connected to my hand, which is connected to the rest of my body. And because I get something from God, it'll somehow work to benefit the whole body. But it doesn't work in isolation. If my finger popped off to fulfill something independent. So the prophecies that have been made concerning you, Timothy, will work out in church. Hooray! Because we are the body of Christ. And if you miss that, you'll miss your destiny. You can't fulfill your call outside church, because you have to be divinely set in place. And so Paul, there is this leader, Paul, this son who he loved, Timothy, prophesying over him. But that prophecy worked out. And if you read the book of Timothy, to benefit the whole church. His call benefited the church. But not only that, his call and his prophetic words actually affected the salvation of people. Because God's big heart and big picture is that he desires all to be saved and come to a knowledge of truth. So it starts with little old you and me working out to affect and bring positive change in God to the body and out into saving the world. So your call has got a whole lot at stake over it. And the enemy knows it. Which is why there's a war for your destiny. There's a war for the promise of God over your life. There's a war for the prophecies made concerning you. And Timothy was needing to be awakened to the fact that you can't just sit by and say, well, maybe someday it'll happen. You need to take what God has said and wage war with it. In other words, enforce victory through the prophetic word. Anybody hearing God this morning? You need to take it and don't be passive. Passivity is one of your greatest enemies as a Christian. We must be on the front foot spiritually. Say front foot to somebody next to you. I need to be on the front foot. Wage war with the prophetic. Because Timothy, like us, had a lot of stuff going on around that could grab his attention. And in chapter 1, verse 4, I'm just going to mention some of the things Timothy was kind of in an environment of. In fact, Timothy was known as a naturally timid man. You know, he kind of, naturally speaking, didn't have the boldness to lead. But God gave him the boldness to be a leader. So everything he was made by God. And flesh couldn't boast. You couldn't say, look at me, I'm so good. Just like David. David was the one who wouldn't have been chosen by man. But God says, I've chosen him because I see his heart. And that's what matters to the Lord. But Timothy was in Ephesus, and he was a young leader. And he says in verse 4, don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification which is in the faith. Then in verse 6 he says, from which some have strayed and turned aside to idle talk, desiring basically to be in the ministry. That's basically what was happening. So Timothy was in a place where people were going on and on and on and on and on and on and on about everything, even using spiritual language, but not what God was saying. Do you know we're the most informed generation ever? Did you know there is endless babbling on social media? Babble, babble, babble. And sometimes in all the babbling of life, you cannot hear God. You're not bringing to mind the things that God has said. You're just consumed and your attention is like that machinery outside the house, taken off the word of the Lord or the prophecy made. So this was going on around Timothy. There were all these people that just wanted to discuss things, go on and on about theories, their little pet issues. And then there was also false doctrine. You know, we live with a very real enemy called Satan. And I think a lot of Christians don't realize that one of the master strokes the enemy has is called deception. People think, well, probably the worst thing the enemy does is he makes my life miserable. Well, that is bad. Jesus has come to save you from that as well and to make you a winner and stop the enemy robbing you of your joy and your peace. But scripture is clear that Satan is out to deceive the church. Why? Because if he can deceive individuals or a church, then they will then be led astray, away from the call of God. And so in 1 Timothy 4, listen to this. For me, this is huge. The Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, the thing about deception is, we all think, oh, that wouldn't happen to me. Now, Paul is writing to Timothy saying, watch out. Because the enemy wants to take people off course and into a place where there's no fruit, there's no destiny, there's no call happening in somebody's life by a deceiving spirit leading us astray. a doctrine of demons which isn't founded. Our doctrine, doctrine's great. I love doctrine. I've got a book on doctrine. I love reading. Some of you will think I'm strange. But I open up that book and I read the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and I get faith. I love doctrine books. But you see, we need to stick to truth. Because the Word of God is the truth that sets us free and will keep us on course. And so, Timothy, you need to be aware that there's stuff going on out there that's not what I've said. And I would never say it. So you need to be planted in a place of truth under the authority of Paul, actually, the leadership, protection. In the church, which is also a safe place of protection. But also, you need to just get off. Just don't let all the arguments, don't get involved. Get involved with what God has said. Now, I have a wonderful hairdresser. And I heard her speak amazing wisdom one day when she's in the church. Wearing orange over there. And she said to me, I don't know. Now, I'm not against listening to podcasts. I do. But she said to me, I don't know why people listen to so much. I hear about these people in this church, she says. Some of my friends, they listen to about 5 podcasts a week. But she said, when the word comes on a Sunday, it's all I can do to get that going. If I just do the one thing, then God will give me the next thing. But if I hear 5,000 words, I'll never do anything. I thought, well, there's wisdom, Lord, coming through my hairdresser. God was speaking. Because if you're not doing what God is saying, you're going to be doing something else. What you're saying over there, or what you're saying to them, or... And Paul says, concerning the prophecies or the word... You, concerning you, concerning you, not them, you. I love the accountability of the word. God has a plan for you. He's got prophecies over your life. What are you going to do with them, Paul's saying? Take hold of them. And don't be distracted by the many words out there. Don't think knowledge is it. Doing the word is it. Knowing so much but doing nothing, I think that might be a report over our generation. We know everything. We've got all the books. What we're doing with what God is saying. And so Paul's saying, son, I want you. Because everything about you, why God made you, is for what he said he's going to do. What are you doing with that so that you can reach your destiny, so the church can grow and the kingdom of heaven can come to the earth? But don't think about the kingdom and everybody getting saved. Just for this moment, think you. Because if you fulfill your call, many people will be saved. Well, what about them, Lord? Stop it. What about you? What about me? Will I be found faithful with what God has asked me to do? It's so important, this word. So, Jesus actually quoted this and when he was standing against the enemy. And it was, you can read it in Deuteronomy, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now there's something that is mentioned in the New Testament, is prophecy of scripture, that when you're reading the word, the Holy Spirit will speak the word to you. And that's living by the perfect word. How many want to live a life of perfection? Live the word of God. The promise, this is it. That's perfection. That's the goal. Man shall not live by everything else that's going on, but through the word. What are you doing with the promise of God? Live by it. Feed off it. And then what Paul was saying to Timothy is, that prophetic word that was spoken over you, maybe when you were baptized. Recently, I don't know, there were probably about 70 prophetic words given over the church here in the last 2 weeks. Thank you, Lord. It was amazing. It's been amazing. God has spoken words of encouragement, comfort, adjusting you into the mind of Christ. And God's been speaking his word over us this year about his dreams, his plans, his destiny for us. And it's, what are we going to do with what we've got? What we've been given? And Paul says, wage war with the prophetic word. Let's get back to Timothy. Wage war with the prophetic word. It's really interesting that when Jesus, the promise, came in the flesh, Herod sent out a decree to kill babies. So Joseph and Mary had to flee with Jesus to Egypt. Do you remember in the story? And how a promise, there's always going to be war around what God's doing. Herod, the enemy, wants to kill the baby. And often promises come, and they come just in seed form, little things. And we must protect the seed until it grows up and be led by the Spirit, so that what God has spoken we treasure and we move by the Spirit to see it come to pass. Amen. So just because you've got a word doesn't mean it's going to happen. But if you wage war against the enemy, he wants to stop the destiny of God over your life. And then he goes on to say, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected. But having faith and a good conscience. God speaks. He says, I want you to have faith in what I said. And to continue to believe. We heard last week, how do we have faith? We hear what God's saying, his word, his promise. We believe, we speak, and we act on it. Simple three steps into seeing the promise fulfilled. We believe it, we must speak it out, and act on it. Now, the speaking out of the word is how you wage war. If you keep it internalized, you won't win the battle. So Paul was saying to Timothy, you need to use what's been said, pray it out, declare it, and say, God has said this. And when you start speaking what God has said, something happens in you. It's like it removes the doubts and the questions on the inside of you. Does anybody notice that? If you start speaking out what God says, it's like everything starts to change on the inside. Now, Timothy had internal struggles, just like you and I do, with our cause, with our destiny, with the things God has said. But Paul said, you need to wage war, speak out, decree, declare, use it against the enemy. Because the enemy needs to hear what you're believing. And especially if it's the promise, the word of God, it's the sword of the Spirit. It's going to bring victory. And it's going to bring your destiny into being. Wage war with the prophetic in faith. Having faith and a good conscience. good conscience is having the Holy Spirit. You know, when you become a Christian, life gets harder. It's much better, but it gets harder because before, when you used to sin, you didn't feel bad about it. Has anybody? But if you sin now, has anybody experienced this? You feel really bad. The Holy Spirit has been put in you to cause you to walk in God's ways. So actually, before you sin, the Holy Spirit will be going, don't do it. Anybody have that? Before you lash out with your tongue, don't do it. Before you begin to criticize, don't do it. Before you speak against someone, don't do it. Who's listening? To the Holy Spirit. Timothy had a good conscience because he was living right. He was making the right decisions. He was living righteously before God. Righteousness is given as a gift. When you become a Christian, God makes you right before God. But to have a clean conscience is important to the Holy Spirit. Now, we can get cleaned up through the blood of Jesus if we confess our sin. God will forgive us and restore a clean conscience. But if you're going to fulfill your destiny, Paul's saying to Timothy, wage war in faith and have a good conscience. Don't live feeling uncomfortable and carrying on. Make the changes that Jesus is asking you to. So you get your life right with God. You're making the right choices, the things that please him. You're walking in the ways of God with following Jesus, and you will reach the destination. Clean conscience. Do you have a clean conscience? Are you living pure before God? Is what you're into right, or do you feel it's wrong? And if it's wrong, don't just carry on. Make the changes because God has a destiny for your life. And Paul says some have shipwrecked the faith. A shipwreck is not a good picture. A shipwreck is something that is headed for destruction. And to continue in faith with a good conscience will mean you'll reach your destiny. You won't reach a shipwreck. And Paul, being a leader in the church, has the authority. And I think what this means is handing over to Satan is taking somebody out of the church because he's leading. He's saying, no, you need to be out. And God's protection is in church. Out there isn't any protection. But it's so that they repent and come back to the Lord. God even uses Satan to win people back. It's a strange thought that, but handed over to Satan that they may be taught so that they actually say, hey, this isn't a good life. I need to get back with God. There isn't any good life in sin and rebellion against God. But Jesus says, I've got a plan to prosper you. He's spoken those good things over Timothy's life. Paul says, have faith and a good conscience and wage war with what God has spoken. That you have a set course, that all the machinery of life going on, take up what God has said and begin to speak it out. And pray it in. One of the ways I do this, because I come, let me tell you something about leaders of a church that you may not know anything about. And in fact, you shouldn't, because you're not a leader of the church. We are constantly under opposition. We are constantly criticized. Constantly attacked. We face discouragements. We face things that make us weep. cry because of the sadness that happens in people's lives. We are heartbroken. And even this Sunday, I'm heartbroken about issues you don't know about. Because people make me hurt. And not for their sin, but because of what they're going through. And so we face discouragements. We face attacks. We face criticism. We face apathy. We face people that just don't want to do life God's way. But in it all, I can take up the word, the promise of God over the church, and wage war against the enemy. I can have faith and a good conscience before God. And I can stand and we can stand and say, God has said. I'm praying what he said into being. And I'm going to keep clean and pure before God. It's the same with you, but in a different dimension for us. Because the enemy, of course, would rather take us out than anyone. But let me tell you, no weapon formed against us will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us, we will refute. But there is something else, just to finish, because you know you haven't had enough yet. Because God says there's something else he wants to say to you. I want you to fulfill your call, but you got to do something. It's not just going to land on you. Wage war. Take it up. Pray it in. Keep in faith and a good conscience, a clean conscience. But then there's another thing. Paul says to Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 16. If we can have this up on the screen so everybody can read it, that'd be great. So Timothy had his critics, and so do you. Actually, that's not the scripture, is it? Oh, yeah. Timothy 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth. Despise is a strong word. Put you down. You know, not like you. To despise something is quite a strong word, isn't it? And Paul says to Timothy, hey, you're young. What's that got to do with the call? He was obviously mature enough in God. And we have critics, whether we're young, whether we're old, whether over gender. I mean, the issues over gender are remarkable, considering that there is neither male nor female in Christ. I'm a woman's son. I'm glad I'm a woman. We are different, male and female. But I'm never a daughter of God. I'm a son of God. I never get that. I never get, don't call me daughter. I'm a son of God because I get the whole lot. Sons get the inheritance, guys. And so, male or female, we're all sons. But I'm happy to be a woman. Praising the Lord, I am. It's what he made me. And nothing in between.
That's right. Come on.
Male and female, he made them. Male and female, he made them. Nothing in between. And don't let them despise your race. Hello? Just because you're white, you can sing. You can dance. Just because you're another color, don't let them despise you.
Come on.
But the answer to critics isn't fight people.
Yeah.
If there's one thing you need to know about Jesus, he didn't come to fight people, he came to save them.
Yeah.
And Paul says to Timothy, even though all around you, you've got critical people, you've got people that are against you and your call. This is the answer. Be an example. Don't fight back. how, because we like to. The flesh loves to fight. Your flesh as well as mine. And if we start fighting, it means we've stopped trusting God. That what he said, as long as we're waging war in faith, pure conscience, he'll bring it to pass. But if we start to fight people who don't, who diminish us, who make us feel less than, we've lost the plot. In fact, we've gone into the flesh and we can't inherit what God has said in the flesh. Be led by the Spirit, not the flesh. And so be an example. Be like Jesus in conduct. When the critics are all around, be like Jesus. In word, speaking truth, in love. Don't forget the in love bit. In conduct. So when people see your life, it's not just about your words, it's about how you're living. In love. Loving one another. Without loving each other, your destiny will stay in winter, yeah. Not spring. And it won't come to fulfillment because love is the atmosphere of God. Love, not criticism, not saying things that you know you're right about. Do you know what? Just one more example, and then I'm just about finished. We're going to pray. Before Christmas, just before Christmas, we were going away on holiday. That was a holiday. A holiday in a hospital. I spent the entire holiday in the hospital. But God, you know, it was all, I was learning a lot of stuff about the Lord in the whole thing. And the thing is, before we went, does anybody remember there were these drones at Gatwick that stopped all the flights? Okay. Which meant even before we got there, I didn't think we were going to be able to fly. And so you should have seen me when I read about the drones. I was starting to get, it's like the machinery was happening around me and I'm getting wound up like a coil. I'm walking up and down. You've no idea how I walk sometimes around my house going, well, that's not going to happen. Those ruddy drones. Right. Lord, I bless the people, but cancel the drones. Shoot them down. Not the people. You know, I know, God, that I'm not allowed to do that. Feel it sometimes, not allowed to. This is going to stop my holiday. We've had a year. Don't you know we've had a year? We need a break. Heaven help us, we need a break. Right, these drones are going to stop. And you know, God gave me a word. Judith, put your sword away. Not the sword of the Spirit, but the fleshly fight. To have your way. What a word. You mean I can't fight the drone? He said, no, trust me. And sometimes we're trying to win the battle with a fight rather than with trust. And I had to learn that actually my conduct, the way I was living through that moment, even if it was just God and you guys who saw it, you didn't see it. But it's enough for me that God did. And he said, I need to just make a bit of a correction. It was a bit like Peter, you know, how he chopped the guy's ear off when they came to take Jesus. I think that's a funny miracle. That Jesus says, whoops. One of my disciples did that. I better clear it up. And he goes around doing it all the time. Let's clear that up. Let's put that ear back on. I think that's funny. But I had my sword out. I was like, right, drones, Gatwick, police. Oh, get the army in, Lord. Get the army in. We need to go on holiday. Give it up. Okay. I yield. And for a while, it took a bit of yielding. But I came to peace. But whether we go or not, it's in God's hands. And it's like, you know, this we fight sometimes so hard in the flesh to accomplish the things of God, and we can't. But God will fulfill his word that he has spoken over us. His promises will come to pass, but not with the arm of the flesh. But do what Paul said to Timothy and be an example. In spirit, in your spirit, in your spiritual life, in your zeal for the Lord, zeal for his house, for his church. Have a zeal for the things that God has spoken over your family. A zeal to see the purpose of God for your kids. A zeal for the next generation. Just in spirit, you know, always be filled with a fervency in God. Not this, oh, whatever will be, will be. No, I'm zealous for the things of God. And in faith and purity. Wow. What a picture. Paul says, they're going to all come against you. Things are going to hit you. You're going to have the machinery outside your house for a long time. Waking you up, disturbing your peace. But I want you to wage war. Lay hold of what God has said and begin to bring it in. But don't fight people. Love people. Timothy, show them. If they're fighting you, show them what love is. Wow. Dreams, visions come to pass this way. Timothy fulfilled his call because he took what Paul had said. He took the word of God to him. And against discouragement, you'll face it, I will face it, we'll always have it. But it's not going to scream louder than the promise. I won't let it take what I'm believing. And God is able to make all grace abound to us. And he'll help us if we don't ignore the promise or get distracted by life, but take up what God has said. Wage war with it. What has God said over you? What promises are in your heart? What was the recent prophecy or another prophecy that a godly leader or someone trustworthy in God brought over your life? What are you doing with it? In faith and purity, clean conscience, and in love and being an example, being like Jesus. Huh. What a church that would look like. What a victory in the heavenlies. What an advance of the kingdom. What an amazing, if one of us does that, two of us, three of us, 50 of us, 150 of us, we just keep growing. The kingdom will come, the church will be built, people will be getting saved because you are getting on with what God has said to you. Praise the Lord. Let's stand.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.